Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Mailbag. Premier League matches abroad, MLS matchday experiences, and professional fouls are the order of the day. It's Saturday, 13th of April. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Eddie Russell.
Hi, everybody. Saturday, what a day. Lovely to spend it with you.
Ah.
And you.
Drink sangria in the park. And then later.
That's a dark quickly.
I went happy
went
days.
Very glassy.
And you went Lou Reed talking about drugs.
Yeah. Drugs. Were you thinking
particular
about
drugs.
No, this is sponsored.
Yeah, I did.
I saw that look in your eye.
Not a sponsored
it's
show.
Such a perfect show. I can finally talk about Brown.
Oh, such an unsponsored show. Well, everybody, if you want to get involved with the mailbag specifically, you can tweet us at Football Ramble.
What's in the mailbag? More sharps, please.
You can deliver us your tweets on a push bike and jacket that you shouldn't be wearing because it's far too hot. Message us on Instagram at Football Ramble. And of course, you can email us.
Shortfootballramble.com. I'll take over, Marcus. But if you want to put yourself in front of the queue, become a patron at patreon.com/footballramble because we are operating a kind of a tiered cast system. Which we are stringently
exactly.
applying to.
So basically, if you deliver the money to Pete, Marcus will give you the pod.
Exactly.
You get the good stuff on patreon.com/footballramble.
Andy, talking about mailbags, your ball bag you brought to...
he always brings that.
Yeah. The ball bag you brought to the studio today is an absolute stunner.
Oh, my Mexico ball bag.
Mexico ball bag. Just a big... I've never actually seen a ball bag that you look at it, you go, oh, clearly that just holds balls.
Yes.
But it's like, it's a long kind of hold all thing.
Yeah.
With at the end, it's sort of rounded with ball. Yeah. It's
oh, look at
like,
you've got.
There you go, look.
What a beauty.
It's sort of hard, sort of plastic at the ends that suggests that there's definitely balls in there or it's designed for balls.
Yes.
And it's got a beautiful rendition of the Mexico flag at the ends as well. And it's just perfect. Not since Andre the Giant won £10,000 in a hold-all in a match against, I think, Hulk Hogan in the 80s, have I seen such a fabulous piece of merchandise.
I'm glad you're displaying it.
Where'd you get that from?
I got it from Raymundo Soccer in Los Angeles. Strongly recommend it. Raimondo Soccer in Los Angeles. If you're passing through,
good.
It's excellent.
Yeah,
smashing.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
All right, we got. Let's get on the mailbag. Eh?
Yeah.
Pulling out from Andy's bag is this email from Craig. I was very interested to see FIFA this week roll back from their stance that league games cannot be exported to other countries and must be played within the home nation. What is your guys' opinion on regular season Premier League games being played overseas? Would that be the death of English football, or am I being small minded to think that? Where, I mean, it's been talked about. I forget what number it is.
39th.
The 39th game. For such a long time.
Well, that's.
I don't care anymore.
I know you don't, but then you know, look what's happened to your football club.
Exactly. Can I shock you?
Go on.
I don't mind anymore.
No.
At least we wouldn't have a 3 p.m. blackout. True. If we literally physically couldn't travel to it.
No, they'd make sure it was on at a time that it was 3 p.m. back in.
Yeah, okay. Fair.
I mean, what would you think if Newcastle did play a match in Saudi Arabia?
Would you be surprised?
No, it's not.
I don't think they'd be able to play.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure they're pushing for that.
No.
But what would you think? Game's gone mad.
Yeah, of course it would. Yeah. I mean, who counts? Does it count as a home match? Does it count as a home win?
That's the thing. It's like if it is the NBA or the NFL, you have to be prepared, or a team has to be incentivized to give up their home game.
Yes. Okay.
So financially compensated in terms of a bit of a sweetener? And all that sort of
right.
stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because they have like...
Obviously, it was a point that David Cartledge made on Ask OTC yesterday. Because we were asked about this, but sort of approached it obviously from a more European angle. The fact that the NFL and the NBA have struggled to get the good teams to commit with it.
Yeah.
Right.
To it, because in terms of how much time it takes out of your schedule, jet lag, all that sort of stuff. Because really, we're not talking about a 39th game. We're talking about a regular season game being moved somewhere else. That realistically, what you're probably going to end up with is, I don't know, Brentford versus Sheffield United, rather than everyone thinks, Arsenal versus Chelsea in New York or whatever, which is probably not what's going to happen straight away.
Right.
Well, I mean, whoever, I mean, yeah, you're right to make those points. I mean, and of course, you know, you're referring to NFL games being played in London, which is a regular thing.
Frankfurt, yeah.
Right, okay, yeah.
Baseball season started in Korea, I think, this week, wasn't it? Or last week?
Is that right?
Did I make that up?
Oh. Well, I believe you.
Yeah, thanks.
And that's all you need. Or should I volunteer as an alibi of Pete's? So realistically, you know, where these games would be played would be outside of Europe.
It'd be motherfucking Dubai, baby.
Definitely been Dubai.
Yeah.
Sam Allardyce is all for that.
The Dubai guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Keys and Gray. In Qatar, they'd have one.
To quote Jesse Lingard, Miami.
Miami. Yeah, so it would be... I suppose that's not... One can sort of look at the detail or what we think would happen, but actually the is it relevant really to where the match would be played and where it wouldn't be? Is it just... I think perhaps to tackle this from, you know, the game is going to be played on foreign soil. Because the huge fans of the Premier League in Scandinavia, for example, but we wouldn't think that because they're a bit closer and maybe they don't have, 80, 90,000 seater stadiums or whatever like they would do in the United States.
And it's easier for them to come.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. I think it's bollocks if the Premier League was to have games abroad. I really do. I don't think that's narrow-minded because actually... You're keeping the integrity of the competition, like, as you say, Andy. That you know the big teams don't want to do these games in London or wherever they may be, if it's the NBA or NFL or whatever it is. Clearly the compromise is the pre-season tours. You know, a lot of teams do go. I mean, I've seen Manchester United play in the Rose Bowl myself against the LA Galaxy.
The Community Shield's got to be the next one, hasn't it?
The Community Shield, yeah, cause, and that's what some countries have compromised on. Their kind of versions of the Community Shield or Super Cup or whatever you want to call
it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Has been played in other countries. I don't see why you would do this, because if you have a league which is a good league and it's a thriving league, maybe not financially, it might not be sort of thriving per se, but it's well supported and so on and so forth. Why would you do that? If you've got a league which not that many people are interested in, then presumably you wouldn't be offered these kind of deals anyway. You know, you have to... In the same kind of spirit of when they talked about Rangers and Celtic maybe joining the Premier League, it's like, look, come on, I appreciate that situations do change in some leagues and perhaps you need a bit of money or you need a bit of extra eyes, some extra eyes on the league or whatever it may be. But come on, like, everything else is up for sale in our, certainly in our country and in a lot of others. Can we at least keep this for the name of sporting integrity and for the bloody fans as well? Can we just keep this as it has been?
Yeah, before we get to the opinion from Marcus.
Before we get to the sporting integrity.
Look, if you want to hear more about my, I will be on GB News later. I won't be, of course. It's a shit show, quite literally. Anyway, Andy,
We get to the sporting integrity bit of it. And when we talked at the beginning about replacing home games or compensation for losing a home game or whatever. The real question is, does football make sense out of the context of its community?
Yeah.
You know, does a football club make sense out of the context of its community? And probably not is the answer. Now, I think the difference is, when you're looking at the places where this is likely to happen, where are fans run roughshod over and paid absolutely no attention to when it comes scheduling and who wants to make up the commercial gap with the Premier League? Mm-hmm. You're looking at Italy and you're looking at Spain straight away. Yeah. Those are the ones. Germany, it won't happen.
No.
Because the strength of fan culture there and the strength of fan power there is such that if, say, I know Dortmund versus Hamburg. I'm still thinking they're going to get promoted this season. in Miami, like, all hell would break loose.
Yeah.
There is absolutely no chance of that happening. Now, I think the Premier League is kind of midway between those two points, because obviously to foreign investors and promoters, it's the most attractive league. It's the most lucrative league. It's the most globally successful. It's the most globally watched, all those sort of things. But there's enough fan culture here, even though, like I've said before, I don't think we fully understand the power that we have as fans in England. I really don't think we get that. I think we could have definitely built on that moment with the rebuttal of the Super League and thought, look what we can do collectively when we don't just think about our own clubs, but when we think about what's good for all of us.
Because that's fans taking on the elite.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that should have empowered fans. You're
exactly.
Right.
Now, someone will no doubt have a little tickle at some point. Someone will have a moment where they think, you know what, we're gonna try and get a Premier League regular season game played abroad.
As we head deeper into a recession, would this not be sooner rather than later, though?
Yes, and how the fans react to this, I think, will be really interesting. Mm. And say if it was, a Brentford versus Burnley or Sheffield United, how would the fans of the other clubs react to that? Would we support them against that? I really hope we would. Yeah. I really, really hope we would. But if you're asking, is it on the table? Yeah, of course. It's definitely on the table.
Oh, these proposals and discussions will be happening now.
Yes.
Whether it's with anybody of any importance with regards to that, but there'll be people thinking up the ideas rather. Maybe that's a better way to say it.
Now, I guess the other question is, how much are we invested and how much are Premier League fans globally invested in what is right for match day going fans? Now that is the thing that concerns me a little bit, because all the discussions that we have again and again and again every week about VAR, so few of them touch on what the experience is like in the stadium. If you've not been to a Premier League game recently or since VAR has been involved, let me tell you, it is awful. It is awful. It is a rubbish experience being in the stadium for that. And you can talk about sporting integrity, clarity, all those sort of things, all of which I understand. The experience is, never mind the inconsistency of the decisions or whatever, it's totally unacceptable experience for the match day going fans. So do we still care enough as a football society in the Premier League about what it's like for match going fans? And given that they provide so much of the spectacle that makes, if we're being like just talking about it in commercial terms, what the Premier League is abroad, it's not just about the best players, but when people talk about the passion, the cut and thrust, the pace, all of that is defined by the fans. All of that is dictated by the fans. And we saw that when, you know, when you see the Sky Sports years and they go back and we look at the COVID season, it's unwatchable.
Yeah.
Mm. You won't be watching it for more than 2 or 3 minutes out of a bit of curiosity.
You never see highlights of that season, do you?
You don't, because the Premier League looks awful in that context. What gives the Premier League the strength, the sellability, its commercial bang, is those fans. Mm. And I think sometimes we don't realise that.
No, I totally agree with you. And I think that one could say, yeah, but fans support these clubs passionately around the world. Shouldn't they get a chance to see them? Well, they do. As I say, that's what your pre-season tours are. But by the way, if you think that those tickets for those games are probably fairly priced and your average Joe on the street and wherever can afford them, probably not. And they go to places like Dubai, you know, like, you know, maybe, I don't know, Hong Kong or America, where, you know, some people do come over here and watch the games as well. So, no, I'm not for it, Craig. I don't think that makes you small-minded in any way.
I think they should have to play, if you are Chelsea or Arsenal, you have to play in London, Ontario, or London, London Island in Chile. You've got to play in the place that has the same name as the city.
But Villa playing in Birmingham, Alabama.
Exactly.
There's a Manchester in on the east side of America. There's a lot of planets.
So Manchester by the Sea.
Newcastle, Australia. I remember an Australian to me remarking once that they were stunned to have recently discovered that Newcastle Brown Ale wasn't from Newcastle, just north of Sydney.
Doesn't Newcastle Jets, don't they play in black and white? Is that even a club? Have I made that up in my head?
No, you've not made it up.
Right, okay.
They exist.
I think it's fine. It'd be nice to see Brighton and Hove Albion playing on Brighton Beach, though.
Yes.
Something we can all get behind. Well, I've got the next message. This is from Joe. After hearing Andy talk about his trip to LA Galaxy versus LAFC or El Trafico, what's the one thing he'd take from the US soccer matchday experience and bring into English football?
Well, speaking specifically about LAFC and their home games, which I really enjoy as an experience, it's, I don't know, I haven't been to enough MLS to know whether that is a typical MLS football experience, because it feels quite a Latin American football experience.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Certainly in terms of in terms of culture, in terms of lucha libre masks everywhere, all that sort of stuff. But the whole, if we're talking about American sports as a whole, and certainly NFL.
Well, he's talking about US soccer matchday experience.
Yeah, and I'm saying I can only speak to one particular one, because I've not been to a load of MLS.
A lot of
stadiums,
like the concessions and a lot of like the way that they present the stadium is quite similar, though, isn't it? Like, I mean, they're just doing it wrong.
You can't get a pint of Michelada and drink it while you're watching the game at Southampton.
I love Michelada, and it's a more refreshing drink. I mean, it's lower in alcohol. You can get, you know, it's all clammy and tomatoey and, oh, God.
You can't drink it while you're wearing white trousers at a football match, though, can you?
Yeah, that is the downside. Yeah. What about, though, if the sort of most, one of the most celebrated players in the world, and perhaps, you know, considered the best player in the world, maybe, like, say, Kylian Mbappe, too many people would argue about, if he comes to town, then a bit like what they did with Messi and MLS, should prices go through the roof for tickets for the home fans?
You know, it should be sort of grid,
500 quid
down,
a ticket,
yeah,
that kind of thing. You know, you remember when they did that with Messi?
Yeah, it's pretty outrageous.
Yeah, should we bring that into the
They do that with music, don't they? I mean, and stand-up and stuff. If you go and see something and it's a hot ticket, I think Ticketmaster and some of the major ticket things have a sort of...
Dynamic
pricing
is how they refer
model.
To it.
Dynamic.
So dynamic. So Newcastle are doing well. The price goes up.
Peter, you've seen you've been to watch MLS before, as have I actually. Although mine was quite an odd one. I saw New York City FC playing at the Yankee Stadium.
Right. Okay.
So I'd have English teams playing at baseball grounds. Quite frankly, Derby County used to.
Yeah.
But what, was there anything particularly? I mean, you've mentioned a couple of things there. In
corn
MLS.
Dogs.
Corn dogs.
They're the ideal snack.
More wholesome chants.
Well, you have certainly LA Galaxy had like those little kind of raised platforms where one person has like a megaphone or like something that makes a lot of noise, and he or she starts the chant, which I think is very organised.
You were very impressed, as we all were, with that man and his torso for
what was that match?
It was at Fulham, and it was Basel.
Basel, yes. Yeah. There was a Basel fan who was really giving it some, and he was organising the rest of the Basel fans. And
it was like, I mean, that's something that always amazes me, particularly
in a lot
Germany.
Of European football.
Yeah, you get that a lot in Germany.
Italy as well.
And it's a thing that amazes me, that think that you are an uber-committed fan of this team, but because you're there starting the charts, you probably don't see a minute of football during the whole season, because you've got your back to the game the whole time.
Well, some English sides, I think people would be quite happy. you get all the fanfare and you don't watch the dirge behind
going back to MLS, the whole tailgating aspect.
Yes.
I'm really into the whole cookout outside.
Do we have the weather and the temperament? Would it turn into men fighting in rainy car parks, Andy?
Covered in burger grease.
Yeah.
Well, you see, that's why I said you have to be specific to what you know, because LAFC versus, say, I don't know, Chicago Fire, that's a very different experience, surely, when you're talking about the weather aspect.
I was watching the wrestling and a man was just in the stands just serving beers. Now, I mean, it doesn't have to be beers, because obviously we can't do that, but... You know, non-alcoholic beer should be more prevalent, I think. You should be able to drink a can of non-alcoholic beer to make you feel like you're in the 90s in full view of the pitch, I think.
Well, I think that's answered that joke.
Or candy floss.
Coming up after the break, more mailbag, everybody. See you in a moment.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Average performance, average cup tie, in that we allowed them to win 4-0.
Hey!
Missed that guy.
He'll be back.
He'll be back.
You can't keep a good man down.
Yep. Beware, women's teams. He'll rock up there, won't he? From Ryan on the Discord, should professional fouls, i.e. taking one for the team, be exercised from the game? Oh. I'm of the opinion that these fouls are petty, and deserve to be treated in the same manner as other red card offences in the hopes of removing them altogether. That and sending off bookings for pulling shirts at corners are two easy fixes that would improve the art of proper defending, in my opinion.
I suppose it depends what you define proper defending as.
Yeah, you think of the great Milan defenders and those kind of things. If that was removed from their game, they were.
Yeah, but you're allowed
defenders.
To kick people up in the air back then, though, couldn't you?
But with
grace and beautiful hair, cheekbones.
Use your instep for that.
Use your instep. I hate professional fouls. I think they're just shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're a blight on the game.
But we're not talking about, just to clarify, we're not talking about last man fouls, denial of scoring opportunity fouls.
All professional fouls.
We're talking about shit, kind of like shirt pulls on the centre circle.
Yeah, just absolutely knocking someone over and disrupting the flow of the game. But it's not close enough to be, it's not an actual goal scoring opportunity.
I think, you've got to be careful with this, because there are professional fouls all over the pitch, and clearly, if it's not to do with a goal scoring opportunity or whatever. I mean, you are trying to gain an advantage, so ultimately you're trying to stop a goal scoring opportunity. I get that. But you would then have such a massive extra, dimension to the debates of, was it a professional foul, was it not? And it would just cause more shouty, arguing, all that kind of stuff. However, I think if it is blatant and you stop an attacking move, like
done with the upper part of the body, which you're never allowed to touch a football with anyway. So one, like an arm round the neck.
Chiellini on Saka in the Euros final. An obvious one that leaps to mind.
As Andy said on Friday's show, on Wednesday's show, Saka bought it. serial purchaser of foul.
He did. So that kind of thing, are you thinking red card? Is that what you're saying?
I think that could easily go.
Oh, Andy's changing his tune now. Oh, but the foreigners do it. I like it when they do it.
I really don't care enough about all this.
Right.
Oh, that's great for the mailbag, isn't it? Oh, get your questions in and Addy may or may not care about them.
Well, that's good.
No, I'm not saying I don't care about the question. I'm saying I don't really care that much about the fouls. If it's dangerous and it puts the other player in harm, then...
He nearly strangled him, Andy.
Fair enough. No, but you're talking about one specific incident.
Do you not just think it's anti-football?
I think the game should be replayed. All right.
Do you not just think, get your memo out, the
From
Marcus
penalty
memo.
Penalty three.
it is really kind of like it does fill the fans of the side who have had the foul committed on them, like just with like anger and all the rest of it.
This is massively subjective, I think.
Well, I've said that.
But with the arm, anything above the waist, because you can't take a ball off someone with your hands.
I think that's
your
probably
arm,
fair.
So.
Yeah, I see
so
that.
So you just grab someone's neck.
Yeah. If it has to be really, really blatant, and you are stopping a clear
handsy on
breakaway.
The halfie. If it's handsy on the halfie,
yep,
not allowed.
Right.
Right.
Are we not missing the point that it's? It can be quite entertaining, and attacking players have a lot of advantages anyway.
Yeah,
handsy on the halfie, Andy.
Handsy on the halfie.
That's what I'd say to you about that.
Are you anti or pro handsy on the halfie?
Yeah,
that's the question.
Well, I mean, look, these fouls do. When you say it's quite entertaining, people would vehemently argue against that because they would say you are stopping attacking football. You're stopping what could. That's why we're all there is for goals. So these fouls do stop that, and of course, you know, you take a booking because I don't know. There's 15 minutes left. You're not on a yellow card. It's tight in the game. They're going away. You can see that maybe they'd have a 3-on-2 situation or whatever. Well, I'll pull him back now because I know it's only a yellow card.
Mm. But
we're imagining
proper shithouser.
We're imagining so much there.
Yeah, but I'm saying if it's a blatant thing like that.
That's totally subjective.
And players on a breakaway, players are expecting them now. So they run sort of like with their body backwards and their legs forward like Billy Whiz. It's weird.
You see, I think part of the skill of being an attacker is knowing the right time to pass the ball, not just to find your teammate, not just to make sure he's offside.
But to avoid someone
make sure you don't
yellow.
Get fouled.
Right.
Don't hold on to it too long
Whoa,
and get fouled.
I'm enjoying this.
I think
so it's proper
the,
football man Andy.
Careful, Andy. It's the attacker's fault he got fouled.
Well.
You are a naughty bastard.
That is what you said.
That is absolutely not what I said.
Look,
keeping order that ball.
I think maybe we should just leave this all alone because,
right.
Like I said a few minutes earlier, I
Andy,
just
lover of chaos, Andy Brassel.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you the new Joker?
I just think, look, with VAR, we've still not got our heads around that, and that'll take another 20 years or so.
Yeah,
I just think
it's not going to make the game any faster fundamentally, is it? It's a big argument. They'll have like an XG totalizer going. Yeah. Is it over a certain threshold?
Match of the day will need another half an hour. Of air or time on the program because it'll be was that a professional foul, was it not? And then of course you get, well, he didn't mean it, he was going for the you already have that, of course, but this would
all these discussions do make me not want to watch football again.
And you watch loads of football. That's how seriously
what would I do with my time, like gardening,
Andy? I don't know, but I would worry for society, so for crying out loud, for the sake of Britain, we want it mended again, then leave this alone, because Andy Brass will be on the loose otherwise.
Yeah.
Right,
with his partner, Lady Gaga.
Now, the final question we've got on today's mailbag is from Danny on Instagram. What's the best animal to have run on the pitch to cause maximum chaos?
Tiger.
Ooh, tiger.
Have you seen that, though? You haven't seen it?
It would be very...
But a tiger might not be bothered. Whereas a bull, Andy, you know what a bull's capable of.
Well, you're in trouble if you're Arsenal or Man United, aren't you?
You are?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what a tiger, if it was surrounded by noise, what a tiger would do. Do you want to pop to London Zoo with me? us three,
yeah.
Producer Charlie, just go to London Zoo and from each side of a cage, just scream at it, see what it does.
Go full Mikel Arteta and play some crowd noise at it.
Are you suggesting like Hull City are going to sort of think, you know what? instead of like throwing another ball on the pitch, if they're in an attacking position and we could get a result, just release the tiger.
Yeah, and then you could sort of say, well, you knew that we were tigers.
Yeah.
You knew that we'd access to
you
them.
Allowed us this name.
You allowed us this name.
Be better than a magpie, wouldn't it, going on the pitch? Was that a magpie? I don't know.
Don't know.
Anyway, is there two of them? The ball in the net.
Is there just stick it in the net. Just stick it in the net.
I fear, Andy, that a tiger has the capacity to cause maximum chaos, but would it though? I'm not sure what a tiger's temperament would be on the football pitch. It could just go, I can have anyone here, I don't need to prove myself, I'm just gonna have a lie down. Whereas a bull, bulls always want to prove themselves,
they're always
on
parade,
exactly. Always on parade,
yeah.
So I think a bull might be up there, bull might be up there. The dog's always good value,
yeah. Lots of dogs.
Yeah, he does.
Troop of doggies.
Danny does specify what's the best animal.
Right.
Don't know if he's getting letting you have plural.
Well, like a, you know, like
moles would be. We'd ruin the pitch, wouldn't they? like
hundreds
of moles.
Rat. You know, when their tails get tied together in a sewer. We'd just that, but with dogs.
What's that?
Like a mega rat or something, isn't it? It's like a weird kind of mythical thing where rats' tails
get... like a novel or something?
Well, there's so many rats, they become critically a certain size.
Those are the big rat ties all the tails together. Goes, ha-ha, you'll never catch me.
But they make a mega rat. I don't know, I think it
exists.
What,
all together?
I think
push them all together?
I think it might be an apocryphal tale. I'm not really sure.
I think it might be as well.
Yeah, okay.
A rat king.
It's a rat king.
Thanks, Charlie.
Oh, right, a rat king.
Rat king,
well, if we're talking about feasibility, I mean, that's a different discussion, isn't it? Because you were talking about like sort of moles and what have you, which immediately made me think of
Old
Bill
Trafford's
Murray.
Mouse problem.
Yeah, I was going to say Bill Murray in Caddyshack, actually.
Well, him,
you know, where he's
on the pitch,
where he's like driven to distraction by all these gophers, and in the end, he causes a load of explosions on a golf course. I think that's quite hard to imagine in modern football where you have a lot of artificial bases with proper grass sown in.
Yeah, interesting.
No need for Bill Murray the groundsman these days.
I would have thought so. I mean, any big animal like an elephant or a rhino, of course, would be...
Porcupines in heat.
Do you think?
Well, they fight. The males will fight to impregnate the female porcupines. And then when one of them wins, they wee on the female porcupine to allow her to lift up her tail.
Is this
that's the message?
Well?
No, I think that's pretty true. Yeah,
because they're very
destructive.
St. James's Park, they were sort of blending, wouldn't they? Aren't they black and white?
Have you seen a baby porcupine? They're very cute.
Are they?
Until
they piss on you and try and give you one.
No, because they're babies. They're not
interested. Right, okay, I see.
You ever seen a baby do that? No,
I hope not. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble Mailbag, part of the Acast Creator Network. Danny asked a question. So what happens? This is on you.
Yeah,
we're back on Monday with a brand new ramble. In the meantime,
is your baby happy? Don't you?
Do follow us on X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble. Follow us on Spotify. Thank you, Andy.
Thanks.
Thanks, Pete.
Sorry.
Thanks for your questions, everybody. We couldn't and certainly wouldn't do the show without you. See you on Monday.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.